So, the family line of Jesus, the genealogy, if I can go straight to the second slide. There's three of them in the Bible. There's two of them there. There's also one in Genesis chapter 5 as well, the very beginning. And this must be the most skipped over bit in the Bible. If we can look at the next slide as well. That is the complete genealogy from the Genesis 1 through the Matthew 1 and the Luke 1. The reason why they're different is very simple. The Matthew 1 follows the family line of Joseph, whereas the Luke 1 follows the family line of Mary. That's why you get two branches. It's not like it's pointed out as a common contradiction in the Bible, Jesus' family line being different in two different books of the Bible. It's not. It's just Joseph's family line and Mary's family line. But I think people skip over this so much because no one watches the credits at the end of the film. No one likes reading long lists of names, particularly lists of names that are difficult to pronounce. And difficult to pronounce names isn't a like old phenomenon. I myself have fallen foul to people getting my name wrong. So my name's Johnny, and that's a pretty basic name. I'm sure you've all heard that name before. I do admit I spell my name J-O-N-N-I-E, which is fairly unconventional, but still pretty standard. So a little while ago, I went to London to do a cutting course to learn how to do some different haircuts. And it was like a two-day event. You learn how to do all these haircuts, and then at the end, you have to demonstrate that you can do them without any help, and people test you, and then you get given this certificate at the end, and it's like they hype it up at the end. They let you come up on stage and collect your award in front of the whole course, and a guy's like announcing on the microphone your name, and then you go up, shake someone's hand, and grab your award. Now, this is what the award looks like, and the guy was just reading my name off the bit of paper. When I was like standing by the side of the stage waiting for my big moment to go up, the guy goes, and now the award goes to Joni Mitchell. And I had to go up on stage and get this award. And that was in front of a lot of people. And when that many people think you're called Joni Mitchell, you just can't be bothered to correct them all. So in certain pockets of the London fashion scene, I'm known as Joni Mitchell. Another phenomenon of silly names is like musicians. They like to have quite weird names. And I thought we could play a little game here. So this is like a popular dance act, and he spells his name S-B-T-R-K-T. Anyone brave enough to have a go at that name? Subtract. We have a dance fan in the front here. But yeah, that is ridiculously, you're meant to get subtract out of that. Next up, we have this gentleman, another DJ, big in the dance scene. Anyone want to have a go at that? So, T-O-R-O-Y-M-O-I. Oh, I heard a little mumbling that sounded quite right. Yeah, he likes that to be pronounced Toro Y Moi. So good luck with that. And I've saved my personal favourite. We're going to the hip-hop world now. So how would you like to pronounce A, dollar sign, A, P, and the end bit's easy, Rocky? Yeah, we have an ASAP Rocky, not to be confused with ASAP Rocky. He likes that to be called ASAP. So, it's tricky, it's fairly long, and it's difficult to glean direct advice from. No wonder people just gloss over this bit of the Bible. But it's really worthwhile looking at things closely, and I can demonstrate that with my next slide. So, Toblerone, the most controversial chocolate of this Christmas, because they've changed its shape slightly. Like, most people could tell you that the Toblerone logo is a mountain, but if you look closely at it, you can see something else as well. Does anyone know the answer to this already? Yeah, I think Paul's mumbled it. What is it, Paul, in the logo? Yeah, it is a bear. Yeah, if we can have the next slide. It's as clear as day when someone points it out to you, isn't it? Like, all I see is a bear whenever I look at the Toblerone logo from now on. So it's quite good fun looking at things closer and gleaming more information and more enjoyment from it. But this attitude does come with a warning. We have to be careful not to see things that aren't there. And it's really important that we don't change the meaning of the Bible by taking things out of context. This is something people do all the time to attack the Bible. If you take Bible verses out of context, you can make them say pretty much whatever you want them to say. But Christians are guilty of this too. We take the Bible out of context and make it say whatever we want it to say. If I can have the next slide, please. This good-looking dude is a guy called Johnny Bones Jones, and he's an MMA athlete, which stands for Mixed Martial Arts, so he's a fighter, basically. So he's someone not to be messed with. And if you look closely, he's got Philippians chapter 4, verse 13, tattooed across his chest. And Philippians chapter 4, verse 13 says, "I can do all this through him who gives me strength." What an empowering verse. That like makes you feel strong just reading it. And I'm sure he uses this like verse to pump him up before training and before he competes in a fight. But this verse, put in context, means something very different to probably what you think it means on the surface. In Philippians, what the writer Paul is actually talking about is explained in the two previous verses. So verse 11 is, "I am not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need. I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all this through him who gives me strength." What Paul's talking about is being content in any situation. It's a don't live above your means, be happy with what you've got. And this is a really important message. And today, particularly, more people than ever are in debt. Our country's in debt. Most of the world is in debt. Like, this message is really important to live within your means and be content with what you've got. But what so many people have changed this verse into is a lucky charm, a go-to pick-me-up kind of verse. And I myself have abused this verse in the past. I've like said this verse to myself before like job interviews or like before playing football matches, things as trivial as that, just to try and make it feel like God will give me whatever I ask for. But that's not the circumstance to use those verses. It's about being happy with where you are and what you've got. And that is a much more important message to our people today. The thing we need to do with the Bible is we don't need to try and make it relevant. We need to try our best to not change the message, because that message is relevant yesterday, today, and forever. Now, so we know the importance of looking for the right things. So if I can have the final slide of this section. So what can we learn from the genealogy of Jesus? 2 Timothy 3:16 says, "All scripture is God-breathed and useful for teaching, correcting, and training in righteousness." So we know we can glean some very important things from this list of names and the people in Jesus' family. So we're going to look closer at it in the second half and see what it's trying to say here. And as the person who knows the contents of my second half, I can reassure you it's very interesting and exciting indeed. Cool. We'll take a break now. So what does the genealogy of Jesus tell us? The amazing thing about the genealogy, and this is the most mind-blowing thing when I discovered it, it contains the most important core message of the Bible. So if we look at the genealogy in Genesis at the very beginning, the first 10 names of the people in the genealogy you get the gospel through the meaning of their names. If I can have the next slide. So these are the first 10 people in the genealogy and the meanings of their names. So Adam means man, Seth means appointed, Enosh means mortal, Kenan means sorrow, Mahalalel means the blessed God, Jared means shall come down, Enoch means teaching, Methuselah means his death shall bring, Malek means the despairing, Noah means comfort and rest. Man appointed, mortal sorrow, the blessed God shall come down, teaching, his death shall bring the despairing, comfort and rest. That is amazing. That shows how the Bible is such a God in, well, it's not such a God-inspired book, it is a God-inspired book. Through the meanings, we get the gospel, and that's right at the beginning of the Bible. Jesus' plan was there from the very beginning, and his plan was to save us from our sins. Sadly, we've all sinned and we've all done wrong, we've all disobeyed God. But because of Jesus' death, he's provided a way that we can be forgiven, and because of that, we can be welcomed into Jesus' family. That's the message of the genealogy, and it's the message of the Bible. Believe in Jesus, and you will be saved. So, that's the message. If I can have the next slide, who is the message for? So, Matthew, in his genealogy, the one we read earlier, is a very different genealogy. Apparently, in Jesus' time, sorry ladies, but they didn't bother putting any women in the genealogy. They only put the men's name in the genealogy. But Matthew puts women in the genealogy, which is very unconventional for the time, which shows it's important that women are in there as well. So it shows that the message is for men and for women. Also, the interesting thing about the women is they were non-Jews, they were Gentiles. So there are Jews and there are Gentiles. I don't know if anyone in here is a Jew, but the good news is, if you're not, everyone else is a Gentile. It's a very broad term. So we're all either Jews or Gentiles. So man or woman, Jew or Gentile, the message is for everyone, and everyone is welcome in Jesus' family. The second thing that all the people in the genealogy have in common is they are all sinners. You'd expect, like, Jesus' family to be, like, quite clean cut, quite safe, almost a little bit square, like they probably just sit around praying all day. Like, not at all. There are some very, very, like, out there people in Jesus' genealogy. Just to pick on a few, David was a murderer, Abraham was an adulterer, Rahab was a prostitute. Like, these people were not squeaky clean. These people were sinners. And as I say, it's unfair of me to pick on those three, because all of them are sinners in the list of the genealogy. So the message is for everyone, and it's for sinners. So if I could have the next slide, which we've seen earlier, which is like Jesus' family line laid out in full. So if you read the genealogy like a story, you have a long, long list of sinners, but it ends in the sinless one, Jesus. And the thing about the message of the genealogy, the message of the Bible, it's for everyone. But Jesus was sinless, and that's why he's the perfect, the only person who can take away your sins. So sometimes this sounds a bit too good to be true, like the fact that all the bad stuff that we've ever done can just be written off, we can be forgiven, we're welcomed into Jesus' family, and we go to heaven when we die. Like, how on earth are we good enough for that? You'd think that, yeah, it's just not, we're just not worthy of it. And a lot of people see this as a big barrier of why they don't come to Jesus, because they don't think they're worthy of all these amazing things that he's willing to give them. But look at the people in Jesus' family. They're all types of people, all sorts of backgrounds, have all sorts of stories, and they're all sinners. So don't worry about it, because we all fit into that family just fine. We're all in the same boat. We've all sinned, but we're all forgiven through Jesus. So the genealogy gives us the message of the Bible. It tells us what type of people Jesus wants in his family. And we get the amazing message of salvation through the genealogy. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your word and what we can take for it. Thank you for the amazing messages and amazing encouragements. Please help us to live our lives with the knowledge that you love us and that you've saved us at the forefront, affecting everything we say and do. Amen.